Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I've been everywhere, man, looking for someone. Someone who can please me, love me all night long. I've been everywhere, man, looking for you, babe. Looking for you, babe. Searching for you, babe, yeah. Where have you been? Cause I never see you out. Are you hiding from me? Yeah. Somewhere in the crowd. I'm not gonna kill your ears any longer. I just felt that in my spirit. I felt that it was appropriate, being that I have not been in you guys' ear in a minute, and I'm sure someone's like, where have you been? Cause I've been looking for you. No, that's just me in my head. Okay, got it. Anyway, hello everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the show. This is Missing the Point with Miles David, and I am your host. Thank you so much for tuning back in. If this is your first time listening, welcome. If you are a returning listener, I appreciate you, and I thank you for bearing with me while I have gone on somewhat of a fall break. That's what I'm going to call it, because if my calculations serve me correctly, it's been 6 weeks, or it will be 6 weeks, has been 6 weeks, around 6 weeks, something like that. The number is six since I have done a episode of the podcast. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat and say, like, you know, that everything in my life has just been uber, uber, uber busy, because that would kind of be a fib and a lie. But I am here. I'm back and I'm coming in hot. No pun intended. Well, I mean, I am kind of hot, but do people still use that word? Today's episode is just going to be me getting reacclimated with talking into this mic, talking to you guys, because like I said, it has been a while. And I've been on somewhat of a life break. So just to kind of give you guys, or bring you guys up to speed, the past 6 weeks have been tumultuous, and I've been all over the place, hence the life break. So I guess I should just start somewhere and continue talking like I'm good at doing, because that's the whole point of having a podcast, right? So in the past 6 weeks, things have been happening. Some dynamics have been changing. I'm just going to be super transparent and say that I kind of got the wind knocked out of my sails from a job interview process. If you guys have been following me and, you know me outside of the podcast, or talk to me in the DMs, email, what have you, I'm pretty transparent about the fact that I've been like actively job searching with these degrees that I have, and I'm looking for something that I can do in addition to podcasting that gives me a little bit more stability. And that whole process has not been the most fruitful in some ways. In some ways, I've learned a lot. In other ways, it's been super challenging. In the past 6 weeks, I've been dealing with the more challenging part just because I don't know if anybody can relate out there, but I had an interview process that just really took kind of the confidence away from me for a little bit, just because locate, and which is something I really want to do. I'm still in Louisiana. I mean, I'm always going to be a Louisiana boy, but I don't want to forever be a Louisiana boy. I'm sure if you're from Louisiana, you can understand me when I say that. And it just felt like a punch in the gut because I was so close and then I didn't get it. And there were some technical difficulties on my end that definitely didn't help my cause of getting the job either. So that was frustrating. And what's even more frustrating is, why do jobs, I don't know if this is a pandemic thing or this is like a just a 2021 moving forward thing I have to adjust to, but why do jobs feel the need to constantly, well, not constantly, why do they feel the need to call you back multiple times in multiple rounds for interviews to get one job? Am I going to be doing multiple different positions? Why do I need multiple different interviews with different people? Like in theory, I kind of sort of grasp what they're doing. But on my side, the person that's like doing the interview or the interviewee, I should say, it's stressful. I'm stressed with a C, stressed, because it's just stressful to always feel like you have to put your best foot forward. And that's what these companies and these organizations and all that stuff, they want to see you put your best foot forward. And it's not that I have a bad foot, because I'm proud of my foot. It's just that I have never experienced what it's been like to go on a job interview for a job I really wanted and not get the job. Like, even when I was in college and undergrad and before that, if I've gotten past the application process and somebody has picked my resume and wanted to speak to me, I'm not tooting my own horn, but beep, 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 beep. They usually want to bring me into the position. And there's been a couple different times this year since I've really been putting my pedal to the metal and entering this job search force with all of my energy that it just hasn't happened for me. And that is an adjustment for somebody that, like I said, I've never really experienced not getting a job after an interview, like not getting a job based on an application and then just not, you know, somebody is beating me out or whatever, or somebody else, them just not picking my application is one thing. I can handle that. But like meeting somebody over the phone, over Zoom, potentially shaking hands and then still not getting the job, that's a bruise to my ego and my personality. I don't know how to take that. that's just what that is. And I'm over it now, which is why I took the break that I took, because it was flustering my confidence and whatnot. But that's an example of why I haven't been podcasting like normal, because it just hit my ego a little bit and affected my confidence, and it affected my passion for coming back on here interacting with you guys. I've just taken a step back from Instagram and Twitter a little bit, kind of sort of Twitter. Twitter's going to be the last thing I step away from, because it's like the easiest format to kind of get my thoughts out and not feel like it's taking that much energy away from me at the same time. That's a weird dynamic, but one that the best way I can describe it. So that's one reason why I've been away, the whole job process application thing. But I will say, if you guys are into prayers and into, you know, a higher power, or just, damn it, you want to just give me some good luck, I'm in the middle of a application/interview process with a job I really, 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 really want again. And I'm hoping this time I don't flub it up, that if it's for me, it's going to be for me. And I really hope this job is for me. Like the people say, if it's for you, it's for you. If it's not, it's not. I want this one to be for me, because it's a position I really feel like I can grow in. I can adapt to what they need. I'm coming in with experience for what they need. And I think it'll give me a lot of leeway to, you know, do my 9-to-5 thing, get my shit back together post-pandemic, even though that's kind of weird to say. We kind of are in a post-pandemic world. That's what it feels like. Get my things back on the tracks and continue on doing this podcasting thing, because I want to be able to spread my wings in both avenues, in my professional career and this creative career as well. So fingers crossed. I hope that somebody listening wishes me luck, and I hope that luck trickles down to a job offer and I'm coming back to you guys with some good news in who knows when, a couple of weeks, more than that, who knows, but good, hopefully good news comes from my lips into this mic before you know it. Also, there happened to be some family dynamic changes going on that have just taken some time for me to adjust to. And in, again, total transparency, well, I try to be as transparent as possible without, you know, doing the most, but I have a grandmother who I'm lucky to have a grandmother and a grandfather who are still alive and with me. However, my grandmother has been suffering from dementia for about, I want to say somewhere ballpark around 2 years is when we've been aware and she's been officially diagnosed with it. And it's nothing to be ashamed about. Some people would be kind of like, you know, scared to share that with people, but it's a thing. It's a thing that a lot of people that are of a certain age deal with. Sometimes people in age groups that you wouldn't expect deal with this disease, and it's something that can become crippling, and it affects more than just the person that is dealing with said disease. It kind of requires, and in this case, it encompasses help and guidance from the people that love you most and can take care of you the most. And for me, that is my relationship with my grandmother. And it's been difficult. Some things have been happening where, you know, the disease, the dementia has been taking some turns, and like as a family, we've just had to adjust. And that's all we can do. Like we don't have a say so in the strength of this disease. All we can do is try our best to accommodate my grandmother as she needs it. And we just do our best. And part of doing our best is me chipping in sometimes in the small family that I have and just doing what I can to make sure she's comfortable, especially in moments when the disease is, or she's experiencing, you know, just look up dementia. It's not fun, y'all. It's not a fun disease for anybody to go through. And there are moments where, you know, the person just does not understand their reality. Their reality is much different than the actual reality that surrounds them. And having to dissect that and calm them while they are processing that whenever it kind of arises is, it can be difficult. It can be strenuous. It can be a task. And I've just had to adjust to that dynamic and be the best grandson that I can be. And, you know, I just wanted to take some time to do that because my grandmother deserves that. So that's reason number two why I've been away. I'm just giving down the reasons. Or they should, don't look at me as excuses, guys. They're not excuses, because I'm still dedicated. I just needed, we'll call it a fall break. I just needed one of those. Okay. And then also just, I really truly believe that mental health is important, and I'm doing like somewhat of a mental health check-in. I needed some time to just, like I said, my confidence was rocked. The family dynamic was happening, and I just needed to really get back in with my therapist. And there's no shame in my game when it comes to therapists. I think finding a therapist is important, of one who can truly help whatever issues you're facing, big or small. The whole process is, it can be simple. It can also be daunting for some people to find a therapist. Thank God I found a good one who's been able to help me make sense of the world in this pandemic and where I am in the stage of my life, being a 20-something-year-old trying to finesse it and make my way through. And yeah, it's just been, I needed to make sure my mental health was better than what it was a couple of weeks ago, because it wasn't in the best state. And I don't want to come to you guys or bring you guys a podcast from a person that isn't fully there or halfway there or just needs to be a little healthier in the mental health realm, you know? So that was another thing that I was, you know, working on and making sure I was shoring up, because that's important to me and it should be important to you as well. I would advise anybody, like I said, to really, really do a mental health check-in and make sure that you're good, because just as well as your physical health matters, your mental health matters, also your emotional health. All three of those things need to be copacetic for you to be living your best life, which is what I want to do and which is what I would like my listeners to be striving for as well, because God knows I'm trying. And in the midst of trying, you know, I have been listening to some things, listening to music, watching some TV, watching shows, just really surrounding myself with things that I feel like are in my best interest and make myself happy. So what are some things that I can say I've been listening to? For some reason, I was born in 93. I know that for some people, you're like, oh my God, you're a baby. Not really, not in my head, but I was born in 93, and sometimes I feel like I should have been born in 83, sometimes 73, because if you go through my liked songs on Spotify, it's very much so some old Brownstone, some Deborah Cox, some Jill Scott. There's a little bit of Janae Aiko in there, Kelly Price, you know, there's some her, Destiny's Child, Luther Vandross. Like, why is that one of his top songs in my recently liked songs playlist on Spotify? Like, come on. I have an old heart. Shoop by Salt and Pepper. I don't know if anybody's been watching the show Made on Netflix. I haven't finished it yet, but if you have watched Made on Netflix, we should chat about it, because if you have watched it, then you should know why I've recently been obsessed with the song Shoop by Salt and Pepper. So that's just a plug for Made on Netflix. Netflix has been I've been using my Netflix subscription lately. I've been watching old episodes of Sister Sister. I've been watching episodes of Queer Eye, which I really let fall under the wayside, because I really enjoy the whole concept of Queer Eye. I'm one of those people that enjoy seeing like makeovers and stuff like that, even from back in the day. TLC's What Not to Wear, I used to really enjoy that. So Queer Eye gives me like a slice of that with a slice of HGTV makeover and makeover a home and just helping somebody that's in a rough spot or something like that. So I've been enjoying watching that. Speaking of watching, I have some things coming up in regards to the film that a lot of people have been waiting for, anticipating. There's been a lot of Oscar buzz and just general movie critiquing buzz around this film. And I'm speaking of King Richard, that features the story of Venus and Serena and how their father, Richard Williams, and the family that surrounds them really brought them to prominence and their journey to the upper echelon and elite levels of tennis from the public courts of Compton, California. I'm toot my own horn, but beep, beep. I'm pretty aware of that story. So parts of me are apprehensive about this film, because in some ways it's kind of like a biopic or a biopic, however you want to say that word. And I want it to be done in a just way, and I'm kind of scared to watch it in case it isn't done in a way and I have to get on here and give it like a a Rotten Tomato 50% out of 100 or something like that. I would hate to do that. That's why you ever am excited for something, but your hopes are so up that sometimes you don't want to experience it because you hope it doesn't You hope it doesn't land shorter than what you want it to be, if that makes any sense. I hope the movie lands well for what its intended purpose is. And I think the purpose is to share and shine a light on a story that is one in a million and one that's going to be applauded and just put in the history books of all sports, not even just tennis, for years and years and years and years and years. And Serena and Venus are icons, and I look up to them in my own life, in my own way. So I'm just, you know, I want the movie to be done right. That's why I'm scared. It's already out and I haven't watched it on HBO Max yet or in the cinemas. I'm not sure which one I'm going to do, but I am sure I'm going to do a review for the film on this podcast in a couple of weeks. Might not even be a couple of weeks. It's going to be fairly soon. I haven't worked out all the kinks in who I want to have on the show yet. I'm being super transparent. If you want to talk about King Richard, then shoot me a DM and we can talk about it. And maybe you can be a guest on the podcast. So that'll be fun. What else is going on? What else is going on? Like Nene said, what else is going on? What else is going on? Oh, it's holiday season. As I'm recording this, we are a couple of days. Are we a couple of days from Thanksgiving? You know, Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, for some reason, I feel like every year Thanksgiving loses its shine. And I know there's like historical reasons as to why people feel like we shouldn't celebrate that holiday as we have in the past, just because people are more aware of what the implications are of that holiday and who it affected all those years and years and years ago and how it still affects us now and what kind of country we are because of it. So I understand all of that. And then from a societal standpoint, it just feels like we all skip Thanksgiving and go to Christmas. I personally like Thanksgiving because I enjoy, hopefully when I have my own family, I'm going to be able to enjoy like the round table, eating at a dinner, saying what we're thankful for and just having a moment of true appreciation and gratitude for the ability to come together and appreciate the time you have with your family. That's what I appreciate about Thanksgiving, not the pilgrims and the cornucopia. Is that what it's called? The cornucopia? It's like, yeah, I appreciate the food and the camaraderie and all of that and stuff and just appreciating my family on that special day. But it is the holiday season. I'm not sure what you guys have planned. I am not necessarily like, I haven't played any Christmas music yet. And I'm sure Mariah Carey is looking at me like, what is wrong with you? Like, why are you not streaming my number one single? All I want for Christmas is you. Like, you should be doing that. But I just, you know, it takes me a while. Holler at me like December 15th. And by then I may be hey, hey, jingling down the street. As of right now, I'm not quite there, but we'll get there. We'll get there. And I hope you do too. I hope this is a fruitful and happy and much better holiday season than it was in 2020, because 2021 has not been a splendiferous improvement from 2020, but it is an improvement because, you know, we have vaccines and I think people can get back to somewhat of a normal in celebrating their holidays. Hopefully, if you're listening to this, you're on the way to visiting your loved ones on a holiday for Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever you do celebrate. Hopefully you're listening to this on the way and you're safe and sound when you get there. So happy holidays to everybody that is celebrating. And let's get into the tennis, because this, you know, this is, I say this podcast revolves around the three P's: professional tennis, pop culture, and passionate conversation. Today is a little bit of all three, I guess, which is my goal for the podcast eventually, to incorporate all three in every single episode, which I try to do. But, you know, it's a podcast in growth and a podcast that is growing and we'll get there. But as far as me in the tennis, this happens almost every single season. Like even before I had a podcast and felt like it was my duty or I felt like it was my responsibility to come with analysis and storylines from the sport and within the sport. After the U.S. Open, it is hard for me to really dig my heels into the tennis season and the tennis tour, just because we've been doing it after the U.S. Open. We've been doing it for 9 months, and 9 months of doing anything. Ask a pregnant woman. That's a long time. That is a long time to do anything. And I'm not saying it's the longest time ever. I'm sure, you know, like you in the sense of playing a sport, following a sport, being super tuned into tennis like I am, after the US Open, after that September, October-ish point, I really, really find it hard to be super invested into who's playing where, who's playing what the results are. So tennis becomes one of those things that watches me more than I watch it. So I am aware. Like, I shouldn't say that I'm not aware of what's going on in tennis. Like, I know what happened post Indian Wells, which, by the way, I did record a post Indian Wells recording. Angie, if you're listening to this, which I hope you are, I'm giving you a shout out. I still have our conversation recorded and tucked away in a safe spot that I'm going to publish in the next couple of weeks as a archived, this is what you missed when I was on my 6-week fall break kind of thing. So yeah, you guys are, if you're interested in what my thoughts were about Indian Wells 2021, the special October edition that just, as I record this, it's been completed for a couple of weeks. But if you're interested in listening to my conversation that I had with Angie, who is super supportive of the show and a good friend, I will be uploading that just in a, you know, in like a throwback archived kind of way, which I think would be kind of fun. And, you know, as it stands now, the season is pretty much over. The WTA year-end finals are over. The ATP year-end finals are over. We have champions for both. On the women's side, it was Garbiñe Muguruza of Spain, who came through and won in Guadalajara, Mexico. Shout out to Muguruza for having a pretty good season, although she didn't lift a Grand Slam. She was fairly consistent throughout the entire season. I think she's up to number 3 in the world again, which I believe is right around the area she should be for talent. Is up to par, and she's healthy, and she's kind of clicking on all cylinders. She is a really, really good tennis player. Shout out to her. She beat Annette Contaveit in the final. And let me just say, I will be doing before I get on Annette Contaveit, kind of a mixture of Annette Contaveit and what's to come on this podcast. I recorded a end of the year 2021 tennis season recap with the Fantastic Tennis Podcast that is hosted by John Garica. And him and I started our podcast in similar time slots in 2020. I think he was a couple months after me, and I've been a super fan since the beginning. He interviews either professional players that are currently playing on the tour or former professional tennis players. And he does such a good job in an innovative, fun game show. Just it's such a good listen. Like, I can't think of all the words in the world that I would like to describe that wonderful show as, but he does such a good job. He has such amazing hosts that are household names and some that are not, that you learn more about. And I've teamed up with him to do an end of the season recapping all the hottest topics in 2021 in the tennis world. And that'll be coming right after this episode, actually. So if you're listening to this and that episode is dropped, you should wrap this up and go listen to the other one, because that one's really fun. It's in a game show format, and I had a ton of fun collabing with John on that. So that'll be a recap of the 2021 season. And yeah, where was I? Annette Contaveit. Annette Contaveit was the finalist of the WTA finals, and she went on a tear. In the 6 weeks that I was like mostly watching tennis, or excuse me, in the 6 weeks that tennis was watching me, Annette Contaveit got out there and won almost every single match she played. She won 4 tournaments this season. She went like some ridiculous stat that I don't have pulled up. She won like 30 something matches after the US Open, or close to 30 something matches, and she's now in the top 10. And if you are a true missing the point pointer, then you remember when I did my, not long ago, I did my 1 year anniversary Q&A, and one of the questions on Instagram Live was, who would I have of these new generation of players, who would I have on my top 10 list? Annette Contaveit was in the top 10. And I said that before she went on this tear to get her in the top 10 world rankings. And I, for one, am proud. I feel like a proud dad. I mean, we could be brother and sister, because she gives off like that really good, like, sisterly energy. I mean, we would be, she'd be my sister from another mister, obviously, because she's from Estonia. But I just feel like I would love going to get sushi with her and like a Moscow Mule or something. I don't know. And I like the way she plays tennis. So I saw her being in the top 10, and that was more picking with my heart. But I'm glad that my heart and my, I'm glad that my heart and the tennis gods saw eye to eye for once and gave Annette Contaveit the best season of her career. And hopefully she continues that into 2022. Shout out to Annette Contaveit. And again, shout out to Garbiñe Muguruza for winning the WTA year-ending championships in Guadalajara, Mexico. And in the men, not too exciting. When are we going to get some exciting news on the men's tour? My goodness gracious, because if Alexander Zverev wins one more thing, I may puke. And that is not to say that I cannot objectively look at his tennis and with my tennis glasses on and be like, he plays great tennis. You know, he does. Like, his tennis, I can see how it is difficult to beat him as a professional athlete on a tennis court. However, he is very difficult, if not another word that's worse than difficult, to root for, given all of the accusations that are swirling around his head. And we talk a little bit about that in the next episode with me and John Garica from Fantastic Tennis. So yeah, it's just, yeah. He ended up winning the ATP year-ending championships in Turin. They were hosted in Turin for the first time after their 10 plus year stint in London in the O2 Arena. So kind of RIP to the London tennis year-ending championships. So now they're going to be in Milan. Or yeah, is it Milan? Or no, excuse me, it's Turin. The next gen year-ending championships, which is where the male players that are 21 and under, they play for like a year-ending championship. That's held in Milan, and Carlos Alcaraz won that without dropping a set, I believe. And he's a young, really super exciting player from Spain. Trying not to compare him to Rafael Nadal because he's not left-handed like Rafael Nadal is, but everybody keeps saying he's going to be the next Rafael Nadal, which is super amounts of pressure. But as it stands right now, he seems to be acclimating with that and growing into it just fine. So we'll see what happens with him in the next season and seasons to come. But yeah, the men's year-ending championships in Turin, the standard year-ending championship for the top eight players in the world, it was, again, it was more so watching me than I was watching it. Zverev beat Daniil Medvedev in the final, and it was a pretty one-sided final. There was like under an hour and 15 minutes, something like that. Pretty routine. Again, it's just still hard to really digest Alexander Zverev when he has really credible domestic abuse allegations swirling over his head. The actual Association of Tennis Professionals that he plays for, the tour, the ATP, says they're investigating into the matter. And it's, if you read the story and accounts of his ex-girlfriend and what she says she went through in the relationship that she was in with him, it's really scary. And he should not, in my opinion, still be playing. And there should be some kind of something that he should be doing outside of playing tennis and making millions of dollars to atone, I guess, for what he did to his significant other. So yeah, that's awkward and awkward to talk about, and I wish he would stop playing tennis because it forces me to kind of talk about him in a way that I really wish I didn't have to. So yeah, that's where tennis is right now. And I'm kind of excited to take a break from professional tennis until the Australian Open summer starts in the top of next year, 2022, in January. It'll just be easy to maybe watch some old matches, like old, not 2021 season, but like old throwback matches, and kind of re-spark my interest in tennis. That's kind of what does it. Maybe the King Richard movie will actually re-spark my interest in tennis again. Who knows? But as it stands right now, tennis is entering its off season. I am happy about it, and I'm glad. I'm going to be happy, even more happy, I should say, when it comes back with a fresh slate, 2022. It'll be a whole new season for Missing the Point with Miles Davis. I'm excited about that. Hopefully in 2022, I have more to offer you guys, like tangible things to offer you guys. Hint, hint, merchandise. We're kind of working on that. The ball is kind of rolling. I say kind of because I don't want to give too much away and, you know, have people's expectations up. But trust and believe, the people that have been super supportive of Missing the Point with Miles Davis are going to reap the benefits of such, I guess, and be able to say that, hey, I have merchandise or a cup or a hat or a shirt or something along those lines or a button or whatever. I want people to be able to say, hey, like, I listen to this podcast. You should listen to it too, because that's the goal here, is to build community. And I feel like a lot of people that listen to my podcast feel like, because I've heard this feedback, they feel like they were the only people that liked tennis in the world, and here comes me and my opinions and you know, my two cents, and they don't feel like they're the only person in the world that likes tennis anymore, because tennis can be very exclusive. I've said that before, and my goal with this podcast is to kind of chip away as best as I can at that exclusivity of the sport and make it a sport that can be talked about in a roundtable discussion with people who are experts and people who are not so much experts, that are kind of just casual fans. I want to be able to connect with both audiences. So yeah, that I don't know why I shared that, but the more you know, now you know. I think I've rambled enough. Yeah, I'm looking at the timer. I said I wasn't going to be on here too long. This is just to reacclimate myself with talking to the mic. And I think I've done just that. So let me get to my outro. I have to actually go to my phone and pull it up because it's been a minute. I am a mess. I promise you. So yeah, if you enjoyed what you heard today in today's episode, please do check us out on all social. I can't even talk. If you enjoyed what you heard today on today's episode, check us out on all social media networking sites at Missing Point Pod. That's MissingPoint. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, on your favorite platforms, so you get notified of new episodes. Review the show if you can on Apple Podcasts, because that really does help the show grow and lets more people know about it. Click on the podcast description for more information on how you can actually support the podcast. I'm on a couple of different growth networks, I guess you can say, to really, one of my goals, I can just flat out say it, is to bring my podcast to YouTube and have a really consistent video presence, because I think that would be just another awesome way to grow and build community and get my thoughts, opinions, and just all my stuff out there is if I do it on YouTube. And one of the ways I would really appreciate that is if you donated to Buy Me a Coffee, which is where you can literally buy me a coffee. It goes to a PayPal account, and I basically save up to get me some better equipment so I can start a YouTube channel. So there's that. And also, don't forget to send us your questions or feedback or anything else that you'd like to share with me at missingpointpod@gmail.com. Until then, have a good week, guys. Don't forget to listen to the very next episode that's coming up directly after this one, which is the 2021 tennis season recap, where I'm collaborating with John Garica, host of the Fantastic Tennis Podcast. You don't want to miss that. It's a lot of fun. Even if you are a super tennis fan or not, it is very informative and a fun listen. And I want you guys to enjoy that. Enjoy this episode. Enjoy past episodes. Enjoy future episodes. Just enjoy. Enjoy what we have. Enjoy the now, because that's all we have. And until I talk to you guys again, take care soon. Okay? Later.
Podcast Network.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.